On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the gospel truth. This is the last day of my series that I've done for 6 weeks about God wants you well. And I tell you, we've covered a lot of materials. Let me just say at the first of our program today that we have put together a package of materials on healing. We have DVDs, two different DVDs with 10 testimonies of healing. I have my brand new book. We have CDs, DVDs, and all kinds of things that are designed to just saturate you in this healing. We even have a CD where there is some pleasant music playing in the background and a person just reading scriptures about the healing power of God. And we've had some great testimonies about that. So today will be our last day to offer all of these products, and I encourage you to please take advantage of them today. Don't put it off. Don't forget it, because I think that they would be a blessing to you. This week I've been talking about the laws of faith. And I've used Mark chapter 5, where this woman came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. He didn't size her up, evaluate her. He didn't even know who had touched him, but the power just flowed, because the power of God flows through laws, not through just individual decisions. It's not God who chooses to heal one person and chooses not to heal another person. The Lord wants every one of us healed. He's already generated the power. He's made the provision. He's put that power on the inside of us. And it's up to us to connect the wires and let the power flow and see the healing power of God come to manifest. And most people don't have this kind of a concept. So I've been using Mark chapter 5, and we've talked about how that you first of all have to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. You have to act on the Word of God. Faith without works is dead. How you have to speak the Word of God. And I tell you, that is really important. I could spend much more time on that than what I have in this series. Let me go back to this and just show you one other thing today. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And then in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, you're going to have to use your brain to get this. It's not stated in just these words. But this woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment. That means it was down towards the ground. And there was a multitude that was thronging him. And so how does a woman just reach over and touch the hem of his garment when you have hundreds of people pushing and everybody's jostling and Jesus is walking through there? How do you touch the hem of his garment? You know, it seems obvious to me that this means that this woman was probably on her hands and knees crawling through this crowd, doing whatever she could to get to Jesus. And this goes along with the previous point I've made about faith without works is dead. But let me just amplify on that by saying that you not only have to act, but you have to act with all of your heart. There has to be a zeal about you, a willingness to suffer persecution or whatever. I don't know exactly how to phrase it, but here's the point I'm trying to get across. As long as you can live without being well, you will. You have to get to a place to where I'm not going to put up with this. I know what God's will is, and I am not going to put up with this. And this woman pushed her way through these people. Plus, you've got to remember, she had an issue of blood which made her unclean. And if she touched anybody, they became unclean. Therefore, she had to yell out, unclean, so that people could get out of the way and avoid this contamination from her. And by her being in this crowd and pushing through people, they could have stoned her to death. This woman was desperate. She was putting her life on the line. And this is the way you've got to be. There are some people that are just too passive. You've got to be active. You've got to be proactive. You've got to pursue this. If you don't pursue healing, you won't get it. And I believe that that's another law of God. It goes right along with faith without works is dead, but not just action, but you've got to be zealous in these actions. You've got to persevere against the criticism of other people. And if you don't see something happen at first, you've got to just continue on. You know, my pastor was teaching on healing, and he made a great example. And he talked about his little kids that when they first started walking, that they fell. And I mean, they hit their head on things. They would cry and stuff like this. And yet the parents don't say, well, don't ever try it again because you could have hurt yourself. No, you encourage your kids to get up knowing that there's going to be some problems, but they just persevere. They go on. And I mean, they'll fall, cry, get up and go at it again. And eventually they get coordinated and they're able to walk and they're able to run and they're able to do these things. But when it comes to healing, we're so afraid that people aren't going to do something right and that we might mess up. And so we just kind of try. And if it doesn't work, well, then we just give up on it. You would have never have learned to walk with that attitude. You know what? You persevered. You fought through some things. And this is the way you've got to be. You can't let other people deter you from what God has provided for you. You know, today is our last day to teach on this, and I would like to show you a DVD that we have about the Trover family, about Nathaniel Trover, and he was diagnosed in the mother's womb as having Down syndrome. And all of these laws that we're talking about, the Trovers talked about how that they knew that was not God's will for them, how that they heard the word of God, they acted on their faith, they countered this negative thing, they spoke things out with their mouth, they refused to let the word of what people were saying stop them. And it's just a great example of everything we've been talking about the laws of faith. So I want you to watch this, and at the end of the program, I'll come back and share some more with you and close out today's program.
My husband was dead set against having four children. He has four in his family, and I come from a family of three. And when we had a boy first, I have a 7-year-old son, and when I was pregnant with my second child, I prayed that he would be a boy because I knew that if we had a boy and a girl, my husband would say, okay, that's great. We have one of each, and that's a wonderful family. So I really prayed, be a boy. I need two boys so I can have my third child, you know. So when I went to him saying, I would love to have a third child, he said, okay, well, we'll try for our daughter one more time, but if we don't, we have my three sons and we're done. So actually in the ultrasound room when they said, this is a girl, my husband, just it was like he won a football game or something. You know, he said, this, I love it when a plan comes together and, you know, now this is our family, we're complete. We have our two sons and our daughter, so we can do this. And so I had this gorgeous portrait done of my three children and had just hung it on the wall.
In the fall of 2008, business was not good. It was clear that the economy was headed in the wrong direction. I started praying heavily and regularly that business would improve and for direction from the Lord. As I was praying, He continued to press onto my heart that we were to have another child, which was not what I was looking to hear at the time. And yet, I continued to hear this from Him. I did not initially tell my wife. In fact, I was much like Jonah in that I headed in the other direction. And then one evening, I was working at my computer. It was about midnight, and God told me it was time to go and tell my wife. And so I went in and sat down on the bed with her, and she was reading. And I said, honey, I've got to tell you something, and that is that God wants us to have a baby.
He said, it's been about 2 months now that God's been waking me up in the night and just telling me that we're supposed to have another child, that we're supposed to have a fourth baby. And my reaction was a bit of shock.
We thought we were done. We had three beautiful children, but we certainly knew that it was time to listen to God. And shortly thereafter, we did conceive our fourth. And after a couple of pregnancy tests that were positive, we went and had the ultrasound done, and sure enough, number four was on the way. Then we went to our next ultrasound appointment quite a few weeks later, and there was some concern.
She completed the scan, and when she was done, she said to us, she said, there's several factors here that convinced me that this is a Down syndrome baby. She told us that there was fluid on the baby's brain. She told me that the baby's head was more round, and normal healthy babies have more oval-shaped heads. She said that the cheekbones were flattened, that there was a flattening here, and that the nose bone was not visible at all, that she couldn't get a measurement on it. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, was missing from the pinky. She showed us that there were calcium deposits in the baby's heart. She said that the limbs from here to here and here to here on the arms and the legs, as far as from joint to joint, were shortened. That they weren't the right, they weren't growing at the correct length. They were showing a shortened deformity in the bone structure. She told us that the kidney had showed water on the kidneys. She said, "No, you have a greater than 1 in 2 chance that this baby has Down syndrome." She talked to us about termination. You know, she said, you know, your options as well would be to terminate this pregnancy. She told us we don't do abortions here, but we could give you a reference for that. And that was very hard for me to hear, because that would not ever be an option for us, you know. And I was very adamant in my reply back to her that that's not something we're interested in doing.
When the doctor left the room, I stood up and immediately canceled this diagnosis. This was not what God had for this baby. This was not of God. It was clear that this was Satan trying to attack what God had as a plan for our family, and I canceled the diagnosis immediately.
And he said, "I cancel this diagnosis in the name of Jesus. I cancel this diagnosis that we don't believe these things that were spoken over our child, and we don't accept it. You know, that God called this baby out, that this was his will for this child to be born, and that we don't believe that these things are the truth, that these are facts, that we believe that they're real, you know, that they're facts in the natural world, that God's, that, you know, the doctor is doing her job and has shown us."
This was something that we saw in no uncertain terms. This was really there physically in the natural. And yet we knew in the supernatural that this is not going to happen to our baby. And we were going to believe that God was going to heal our baby. And yet, it was a tough time to go through.
When Holly called me the day that she got the diagnosis and said to me, "Alex, they've told me that my baby has Down syndrome," I remember the feeling of, oh my gosh, this can't be. And for a second, I was down there with her. And then I remembered, but God. And I just remembered God promised this baby. It was his idea. It wasn't his idea to give him a Down syndrome baby. It was his idea to give him a whole healthy baby. I've always taught that the words that you speak are very powerful, that life and death are in the power of your tongue. And I remember when I started teaching myself about Andrew Womack's teachings on our authority as believers, and how we are created in the image of God, and how just like God framed the world through the spoken word, we frame our future through our words. It was at that time that I started teaching some of Andrew Womack's teachings in Cell, that Steve and Holly really began to grasp it and get it. So when Steve and Holly were faced with a challenge, the fruit that was in them really came out very sweetly.
On March 27th, we went back to the specialist so she could have another look at our baby. But I really went back believing. I had the faith for this, that whatever was on the screen, I was not going to let that move me. I was not going to let my emotions override what I knew God's word said.
We went into the doctor's office, and the nurse said that we were going to have a different doctor, which was absolutely fine with me because I didn't really like the news the last one delivered. But Holly mentioned that she wouldn't mind speaking with the original doctor, and so the nurse notated that and went and found that doctor, and she actually came a few minutes later.
It took a really long time. She spent about, it was over an hour that she was taking measurements and doing things that just seemed to be forever. And I could hear my husband. He was actually singing and praising God in the background. I could hear him singing a song that I'm counting on God. He was humming that in the background. And she would measure and take another measurement. And then at one point, she just kind of stopped, and it seemed kind of strange to me. She stopped and she said,
"If this was the first time I had ever seen this baby, I would tell you this baby has nothing wrong with him. He is perfect in every way."
Then it got quiet again, and she measured more and measured more. And it was a little while, my husband and I started to realize that she was taking the same measurement more than once. You know, she was measuring the arms and the legs and the circumference of the head, everything. She was just doing it repeatedly. So when she was done taking her measurements, she stopped and she put her things down and she just looked at us and she said, "You know, this is just one of those times where you just throw your hands up in the air."
When she called, I just was silent, weeping, thanking God, glorifying Him for His faithfulness, knowing that when we actually dare to step out, our Daddy does not let us down. Our Heavenly Father does not let us down.
They admitted Holly to the hospital and started the process of inducing her.
Really, it was just like a half an hour of active labor.
When he came out, it was just absolutely amazing. He was so big. It was far and away the largest baby we've had at 8 pounds, 11 ounces. He was 22 inches long, and I immediately went over and looked at Nathaniel afterwards, and his color was perfect. His everything about him, he looked like this perfect angel.
And when they had moved him over to the baby nurse that was cleaning him up, I started to tell her our testimony and our story of you know, the different things. And she stopped and she said, "Not this baby. I gave this baby a 10 on his Apgar score, and I don't give 10s.
This baby had an Apgar score of 10, which is perfect. And I kind of looked at it as God just showing off.
Let me just point out again some of the things that were in this testimony, and that is that the Trovers had a word from God. They had heard from God. They knew that God wanted them to have this child. And because they knew the word, they knew that according to like James chapter 1, God gives only good and perfect gifts. It was not God's will for Nathaniel to be a Down syndrome baby. And so they had heard, they had faith, they acted on their faith. When the doctor spoke words of death over them, they canceled those words. I don't know if you heard that, but they specifically mentioned this, that Steve was in there just canceling and saying, "I cancel this diagnosis." You know what they were doing? They were using the power of words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. And they canceled this diagnosis. They persevered. They went through all of the negative things, and they had other people agree with them, and they stood. And if you remember, they said when they went back that they were braced for all of these negative things to be spoken, and they were going to sit there and exalt God's word above anything that the doctor said. And as it turned out, the doctors couldn't find anything, and Nathaniel turned out to be absolutely perfect, and it worked. But, you know, I don't mean this in a negative way. I'm not saying that every person who has a Down syndrome baby is a bad person or didn't trust God or believe God. But there are laws that change things. And if people had the same knowledge and the same information that the Trovers had, and if they took a stand and did these things, I believe it's God's will for every single person to be well. And I know that there's people that are going to take issue with that and say, "So you're condemning other people." You know, I've already used this illustration last week. I'll just refer to it briefly. But Leonardo da Vinci was a brilliant man. He was a genius. And yet I know things that Leonardo da Vinci didn't know. I'm sure his IQ is much higher than mine, but I know things about communication, cell phones. He probably never even dreamed of that. Television, I understand that to a degree in a way that Leonardo da Vinci never did. I understand electricity. There's a lot of things that I know that he didn't know, not because he was a bad person or an ignorant person. No, he was brilliant. He was a genius, but he didn't know some things. And because of it, he didn't use electricity. He didn't have a television. He didn't have a cell phone. And I have those things because our generation knows things that his generation didn't know. But you know what? He was a brilliant man. Likewise, I'm saying that if you aren't experiencing God's best, there are things that you don't know, because I can guarantee you that Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I can guarantee you that's God's will. And I can guarantee you from the Word of God that he wants you well. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That is God's will for you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He showed us God's will, and he never made a person sick. He only healed people. And I believe it's God's will for every person to be well. It's obvious that not every person is well, but it's not because God willed it. It's because there are laws that govern it. If it was just up to God, every person would be healed. He's already made the provision, but there are laws that you have to learn and put into practice. And if you don't know those laws, you might be like Leonardo da Vinci. Maybe you are a brilliant person and wonderful in so many ways, but if you don't know something, it's killing you. I'm sure you've heard the saying about what you don't know won't hurt you, but that's not true. What you don't know is killing you. And that's the reason that I've done all of this teaching on God wants you well. That's the reason we've put all of these materials together. And you know, this is how the Trovers were able to see Nathaniel born a completely normal, healthy baby after they had all of the documentation that he was Down syndrome, and yet he was completely changed because they knew the truth, they acted on it, they canceled the negative words, they spoke positive words, they persevered. They got through this, and praise God, what worked for them will work for you. I really believe that. I know that this probably still leaves answers. I still have some questions. Excuse me, it leaves questions, and I still have questions that I haven't learned everything. But what I have learned is working pretty good. I've seen my own son raised from the dead as well as other people. And I believe that God could use these things to help you and to help other people through you. So remember that today is the last day that we're offering this product on God Wants You Well. We have this package of things entitled A Better Health Care Package. And if you would like to get the whole thing, our announcer will share that with you. Remember, today is the last day. So if you're going to receive this, call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled God Wants You Well is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs.
Once again, let me remind you that today is the last day we're offering all of these materials. And I really believe that they would help you. And that's the reason I really want you to get them. We offer our materials one at a time, these CDs, as a free gift. And today's our last day to offer the fourth teaching in this four-part series. But all of these materials, if you were to get the book by itself, we just ask for a donation of any amount. We've put this entire package together that's worth about $136. And because of the high price on it, we are asking for a minimum donation of $100 for that. But we want you to get these materials. I think that they would really, really impact you. And plus, this is a great way to share these truths with other people. God wants them well too. So listen to our announcer and remember today's the last day. Please take advantage of this offer.
You can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled The Laws of Faith is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening.
How good it is to give thanks unto the Lord.
Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
To give thanks.
A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp next week, May 28th through the 31st, in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, and in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. He'll also be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th, in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to watch Andrew's special series titled How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. It all begins Monday right here on Gospel Truth.
And the word dismayed, you know, if you were to look this up in the NIV, it's talking about being discouraged. Word discouraged is just a compound word that means the loss of courage. If you aren't confident in the Lord, if you aren't excited about the things of God, then you're dismayed or discouraged. And you have to keep yourself encouraged.